From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Potbrad. My name's Eric Wiltshire in Potbrad at the base of the Glorious. Do have a look on Google for the Tatry Mountains. You can see where I live. Over in the other place, it's Lee Banks. You're right.
Have you come? Google Village Idiots and see where I live.
Probably. Or better still, why don't you Bing them?
Bing them.
That would be good.
Yeah,
do a Bing.
It does work as well as Google, doesn't it? I've been trying.
What, since we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah. Bing.
If you it set up how you want it, it is incredibly good, Bing. Very, very good indeed. Moving along. Sad news for the UK as the Republic of Ireland falls back into recession. According to the figures for the last 3 months of 2011, the economy in Ireland shrank by 0.2%, which is quite dramatic because the UK and Ireland are such huge trading partners.
Yeah.
That's quite a worry for some of the, well, they're not really exporters, are they? Because Ireland's not that far away. But it's definitely worrying for certain people who sell a lot of goods to Ireland.
Well, it is a bit worrying to us all, isn't it? Because we did think, erroneously as it's worked out, that we were doing quite well over here, that things were on the upturn. But then we were silly, weren't we? And this is a sort of proving that things just aren't as good as they are.
I'll tell you what else it proves, Lee, is the fact that, you know, you cannot be a non-global player these days because, you know, if a country that you're trading with struggles, then by definition you struggle. So the absolute control of your own economy is very rarely in your own hands.
I think that's true up to a point, but then there is an edge of conceit and egotism attached to that, isn't there? And Britain has always been an egotistical country that thinks it's a lot bigger than it is. And actually, if we
excuse me, what are you saying there? Are you saying that English people aren't brilliant? Aren't you saying English people don't know everything? Are you saying English people aren't geniuses?
I am saying that England is filled. We are the quintessential country of village idiots. There is nobody in Britain who isn't a village idiot.
All right.
And we are being forced into a situation where we will go back to feudalism. We can no longer afford cars or houses or food. We are worse than Ireland has ever been, and we are being driven there by the village idiots that we put in power.
So that explains why I don't live there anymore then.
Well, I think you're right. Honestly, that was a very good move on your side.
Drug maker GlaxoSmithKline. This annoys me, these sort of stories. It said it will invest £500 million in manufacturing in the UK and create up to 1,000 jobs. Now, is this going to take place in 2012?
No.
2013?
No.
2015?
No, we've got a long way to go, Eric. They could fill the rest of the show by getting to that day.
2018?
No!
2020?
It could be!
Marvellous.
So, why have they done that? What is the point of that?
I have no idea. The firm said its decision was influenced by tax cuts confirmed in this week's budget. Right.
Well, I don't believe that for a second.
Are you telling me that... When was the budget in the UK? 2 days ago?
Yeah, 2 days ago.
A company, a Goliath-sized company like GlaxoSmithKline...
That's exactly what I was going to say. What you're going to say now is exactly what I was
going to say. They'll never make a decision in 2 days.
Of course they won't. They knew what was going to be in the budget long before anybody else did, including probably the Chancellor, because he didn't make it up. So other people made it up for him. The press knew what was going to be in the budget. That's if you read the papers beforehand. You knew exactly what was going to happen. And this guy, he's so patronising, isn't he?
It's ridiculous. Do you know, the only thing I reckon they could manage to agree on in 2 days is maybe the headline of a press release. As to the rest of it, no chance.
And I reckon that press release, the headline on that press release was agreed weeks ago as well.
Of course
it was. What a patronising
B&Q and Kingfisher, the owner of Kingfisher, actually see profits rise.
Well, that's funny you should say that, you know, because I think what happened for Kingfisher was when I was in India, that's all I used to drink, the Kingfisher beer. It was absolute magical. It's the best beer I've ever had.
I despair.
I had all sorts. Sometimes I drank them in pairs. Sometimes I drank them in quadruples.
Sometimes I despair. What? Kingfisher is the company that owns Screwfix.
He's just said barbecue and Kingfisher.
B&Q.
I thought you said barbecue.
Same company.
Kingfisher, I thought we're talking about drinking at a barbecue. Sorry.
Brico in France.
Brico?
Castorama.
I can sing Stephen Brico. Well, did that song go? I don't give a stuff about being Kieran Kingfisher.
Well, I would, because they're opening 53 new shops last year.
Yeah.
Twice as many as planned.
Guess what one of the shops is called? Screwfix.
What, yeah, hold on a minute.
What sorts of shop's that then?
We just had GSK saying... Their story is, we're going to do something in 2020, yeah. Right?
We need to be president of the United States.
Right? With 1,000 new jobs, you know, eight years away. And yet the B&Q group opened 53 new stores last week, which is easily going to amass more than 1,000 jobs.
Yeah.
And, they've been invested in Britain, and yet who cares?
Who cares? That's exactly what I said. Who cares? Any company that can call the shop Screwfix.
It's because it's for the trades. It's for the trades.
You'd be arrested.
It's for the trades. It's for those that work on the tools, as they're called.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. You'd be arrested.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're going to be serious for a minute and ask a very, very poignant question. Why was that guy in Toulouse, the terrorist chap, allowed to wander around on his own?
Well, that's it, isn't it? And it really is. It's something that should be investigated. I'm sure it is being investigated, but it should have been investigated a long time before any of this happened. They knew what he was about. They knew what he'd been doing. They'd seen the pictures he'd put on YouTube. They'd seen the videos he'd taken of the things that he'd done. They knew what Islamic groups he belonged to. They knew what his brother was about. They knew everything. And yet they allowed him to be at large on the streets. How awful and shameful is that?
I have no idea. And whilst I'm so mixed up on this story, to be honest, Lee, because as I've said so many times on this programme, that when I go into Tesco's in Poprad, I don't have to speak, but I want to speak in Slovak.
Yeah.
Now, moja slovensko katastrofa, which means my Slovak is... rubbish.
Not pretty good.
Mm. But at least I do it. I fit in with the things around me. Now, I cannot comprehend why this guy attacks a Jewish group in France when everybody should be becoming French if you want to live in France.
Well, I understand what you're saying on that, but I think it also goes a bit deeper than that. I think that kind of affinity to the country that you're in is a laudable thing. And I think there's a lot of people over here in Britain who could actually take a leaf out of your book and show an affinity to our country when they're using the facilities that are available to them, not least the benefit system.
Yes.
But when you consider that Mohammed, this bloke, this mad, insane terrorist murderer, right, was a member of an extremist group that was run by his brother, that for some inexplicable reason, the security people in France said was harmless. And yet he was arrested by US authorities in Afghanistan, and he used to be flying out all the time to Afghanistan and to Pakistan. And now his brother's under arrest anyway.
I applaud the freedom that, you know, bona fide elections produce.
Yeah.
And in so many parts of the world, even some of the parts of the world that would maybe be listening to us, that, you know, elections are not bona fide. They are just complete fairy tales. Yeah. But by the same token, if you want to embrace and be in one of those democratically elected countries of the world, I'm sorry, I'd be throwing him out. Well, if he wasn't dead, I'd throw him out, that's for sure.
Well, it's also the fact that what a meal the authorities made of his, well, it wasn't his capture, it was his demise, but how long did they make that stay go on for?
Well, I don't think
that was a grand publicity stunt.
No, I think they didn't want to make a martyr out of him, to be honest. They were hoping that he would give up.
I can see that.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Well, anyway, talking of giving up, I think I would if I had to wear the newly released official GB kit for the Olympics 2012.
Bit bizarre, this, isn't it? A bit very strange decision, and I'm not quite sure whether I think it's got any great value to it at all. I think it could also be construed as an insult.
Well, it was designed by Stella McCartney. Enough said. Enough said.
You know who her dad is? The Mull of Kintyre man?
No, that's got nothing to do with it. But I've seen the images of this. They are rubbish. They really are.
It's like somebody's got a printing machine and couldn't afford all the colours, isn't it? That's basically what it looks like.
And where's the red bits of the Union Jack?
Well, that's what they've done. They've eliminated the St. George's aspect of the flag and the St. Patrick's aspect of the flag. Those are two integral parts of the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
And inexplicably, and I think with, it can't be malice aforethought, but it certainly is a mindless thing to have done, they've cut out two of the major parts of the UK.
I'm not saying that so much, but it seems to fit the sponsor, who is not going to get a free plug.
What, do you mean Adidas?
Shut up. it seems to fit their style rather than the style of an Olympic team. That's what I think.
I think that's a very good point, but I do still see it as a grand insult to St. George and St. Patrick.
Mm. Anyway, there was a budget announced this week in the United Kingdom, which was wonderful for some people, not so good for others. There was winners and losers, as there always is in this kind of environment. But we'll go over to our UK correspondent now, who will put his spin on the spin that was issued during the spin of the budget.
Well, hello, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, and anybody else who happens to be listening. I am reporting now from budget-ridden Britain. May I say that I'm sitting here now in my lounge eating a sausage roll, which cost me over £1. And a pasty is going to be my lunch, which will cost me nearly £1.50. The sausage roll went up by 18p and the pasty by 30p on Tuesday of this week. That is the food that we eat. Hot food, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that's your fault for getting purchased in food when you could make it yourself cheaper.
Well, yeah, but there are a lot of people in Britain who, you know, if you're working, you can't nip home, most people now, because you certainly can't afford the petrol.
Yeah, you can.
To get that. Oh, you can nip home and make yourself a cheese butty.
No, but you see, this was an argument I had years and years ago over sort of foodstuffs and people that, you know, if you want to take fast food, fine. Absolutely no argument with it. But don't whinge about the cost, because just imagine, you have a weekend where you might want to have a little dinner party, mightn't you, Lee? Because you like entertaining the village idiots, don't you?
Well, all you got to do that is just say a two-syllable word. That keeps them going for ages.
Well, and so therefore you would offer them sausage rolls that you would bake in your huge great kitchen in your house. And what you would do is make extra sausage rolls and you would put them in the deep freeze so you could get them later, which would probably cost you about 20 pence each.
That is not a fair comparison.
Why?
Well, because there are times when people can't. If you think of the price of cooking food now, Eric, and this is a really true situation. Mm. Let's put it this way. There are two of us living in my house, yeah?
Right.
There is me and whatever her name is, you know, that woman. right. There's the two of
you're going to be dead when she uses this, I tell you.
Yeah. Well, so we cook for two.
Right. Well, why not cook for four?
Because there's only two of us.
And put two in the freezer.
But we still go through over £30 a week's worth of electric That works out at a bill of what? £240 a quarter just for electric. How expensive
it is. If your oven is on, your main cooking oven is on, to cook dinner for two, it's big enough to cook a dinner for four. Therefore, you would halve your electricity costs by cooking for four.
I understand what you're saying, but that isn't the point. Well, the point is, right, all right, let's get down to the nitty-gritty, right?
Yeah, well, you see, I'll put this into context, boys and girls. Living in the east of Slackia...
You know, did you say that I was going to do a report on this?
Yeah, well, hang on.
And all this done is talk over me and keep me quiet and then try to and talk me turn it into a cookery. Who do you think you are, Nigella Larson?
No.
You've got her biffers.
No.
Haven't you?
No. But
Jordan?
No, where I live in the east of Slovakia, the great news is that we haven't even got a McDonald's here. We don't have one. And equally...
You've got that thingy what's-it shop that does brilliant beef burgers and chips, though.
Oh, I know that. But by the same token, people here will make their own preserves. They will... do gherkins in jars, which I hate.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just not having this. There is a dining establishment on every single corner of Poprad, and one's in the middle too.
They're restaurants.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
They're not fast food outlets.
Well, some of them are fast food outlets.
Do you know,
really?
you can't buy a meat pie here because they don't know what they are.
That's because they don't eat meat pies.
Anyway, he then carries on to say the price of a £5
hot rotisserie chicken. This is, ladies and gentlemen, this is the report I'm supposed to be doing. You
go
know,
on, then. I was leading you into it. £1. So it's not a £5 hot rotisserie chicken now.
It's a £6 one now overnight.
So you're misreporting it.
I hate him, ladies and gentlemen. But this is a tax on tramps. This is a tax on tramps.
Yeah.
Tramps, right. Duty on a pint of beer has gone up by 3p. And wine. The only thing that tramps... And cheap alcohol like White Lightning and stuff like that and cheap cider, that's going up as well. That's going up incredibly. The poor old tramps won't be able to drink or eat anymore.
Yeah, well, the duty on beer I don't worry about because I don't drink beer anymore.
Oh, it's all right for you, Eric, isn't it?
Well, I don't drink beer anymore.
I don't drink anything else. Well, I do. I drink wine.
All right. So you're kiboshed twice. Then he comes on to petrol. Benzine.
Excuse me, you made me cough now. £7.50 a gallon, and that's a conservative estimate. How much is a gallon of petrol over there?
I don't know. We don't have gallons.
Telling me what a litre is. How much is it a litre?
I don't know. I don't fill my car up with petrol.
How much is a gallon of diesel?
I don't know.
Who puts it in for you?
Well... Martina drives a diesel car, so she gets her brother to put it in because she might get her hands dirty.
Ladies and gentlemen, he just doesn't want to answer the question. That's
no,
all.
I genuinely don't know the answer.
You must drive past the garage and say, "Go blinking heck, that's cheap compared to that poor old Lee has to pay in Britain."
No.
No, you never think of me.
I tend to keep my eyes on the road when I'm driving, not looking at the side of the road.
Anyway. £7.50 a gallon, right?
Right.
That works out, right? We were working it out. I went to the circus, as Eric knows, yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. We didn't actually go in when we got there because it was full of children. And I just thought we're going to look stupid, two grown-ups, as handsome and gorgeous as I am, and Andrew made up the couple, obviously. And
we didn't go in. Yeah, go on.
But... It was 20 miles there and back, and I reckoned, right, it's, yeah, the car we are currently driving, which is a load of rubbish, but we've got to have it for a minute.
Is that the one you're trying to sell?
That's the one I will sell when I put a new clutch in it and new brakes and everything, right? And it's does about 40 miles to the gallon. It cost us £7.50 just to go to the circus and come back that we didn't go to in the end. £7.50 there and back. Ludicrous.
Right. Okay.
So you can't afford to go anywhere.
The one comparison I can give you, thanks to Dave, who's a presenter on Replay Radio, as it goes, because I was taking the mickey, because apparently now some cigarettes in the UK are over £8 a packet.
They are, and they're kept behind locked doors, which hide them from view.
And over here, all the packets are on view, and they cost about €3.20, €3.30, as low as €2.50. Yeah. Euros. So on an average, we'll say...
How much is that? That's about £3.
We'll take the average of £3.
Yeah.
Whereas in the England, we'll take the average of, say, we'll say £7 because the most expensive rate. So that means every packet of fags sold in the UK contributes £5 in tax.
Well, yeah, it could do. You're quite right. Quite feasibly right, yes.
Ridiculous. That's daylight robbery.
Well, of course it is daylight robbery, and that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I've been trying to say all the way through this point. The whole thing is daylight
on the
robbery.
Other side of the fence...
don't forget, ladies and gentlemen.
The other side of the fence, Lee, what was the increase in the amounts you can earn before taxation comes in?
Well, I don't believe that's going to actually happen. I can't believe that they're now saying that you can earn £9,000 before you actually pay any taxation.
Well, if they said it, they said it.
Well, it's always... I will see what happens.
We will have a look at it further on in the year, boys and girls.
There will be something hidden in that which will not make that happen. That is a ludicrous figure. Right, the average wage in Britain is 20,000. They're saying that we can keep 50% of our average wages in the UK. Not a chance.
Well, you might spend some more in the high streets then, you see. That's the idea.
But you wouldn't, though, would you?
No, anyway, moving along. Game honours, game makers fight back with production tax boost. And I have to say at this point, there's a great organisation in the UK called Tiger. And they represent the games industry, and their boss is a gentleman called Richard Wilson.
We both know, actually, and he's a very, very nice chap.
He's a nice chap, actually, and yes, we do both know him. And what they've done is, at long last, they've given the opportunity for the UK game makers, and I make no apologies for the fact I'm a bit of a games nut anyway, to actually...
He's been on the game all his life.
to compete in the global market, because so many countries around the world give tax breaks when you're constructing and doing all the backroom work of designers and coders and animators for games. Mm. And certain countries, there's just amazing tax breaks when you're doing this sort of work.
And it's been a long time coming over here, hasn't it?
Yeah, and you've got sort of companies that they actually employ thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the gaming industry. And even more so, the new breed of smaller studios of 4 and 5 people that make games for iPhones and iPads and all that sort of thing, they're now going to get a chance to compete in a global market. And, you know, I have to say, thanks to Richard Wilson of Tiger for lobbying so hard to get this thing done. And I think it's magnificent.
I think it is. Because it's also, an economy like, a failing economy like Britain's, well, like everywhere really, but I'm not particularly pillory Britain over this, but we are a failing economy. And it needs to move into an area, a growth area, to start to bring it, because the growth that kind of industry brings allied industries in with it. Mm. It's quite phenomenal.
Yes.
And it's not going to change the face of Britain.
Yeah, but it can actually replace, not necessarily in the job set, Lee, and I'm not suggesting for one minute the job set's the same, but in terms of revenue, you know, there is no more massive steel works and coal works and all that sort of stuff anymore. We are in a digital world, and therefore manufacturing has to be in the digital world.
Absolutely, and that's what is good about this tax break, because it brings in a new kind of manufacturing that other countries have recognised and Britain's only just caught on to.
Yeah, well, that's because we're quick. I'm going to move down to page 6 for you, Lee, just to give you the little ups.
I'm on page 4 then.
Right. I just cannot comprehend. Is he going to live that long? Engelbert Humperdinck.
You just lied to me. That's on page 8.
Oh, is it? All right. It says 6 on my sheet. Page 6, page 8? I don't know. Anyway, Love Will Set You Free, written by two people I've never heard of, allegedly makes Humperdinck's voice sound wonderful. And it's his trademark style, which went out in the 60s. And why... I'll tell you what, I'm not being in any way, shape or form biased, although it's going to sound it, please go on the internet and, because the name's different, have a look for the Slovak Eurovision entry 2012. It knocks 9 spots off of that dribble from Engelbert.
Well, I have to say, right...
Oh, you don't like it, do you?
Well, I tried to like it. I really did try to like it. And you know that is quite a turnaround for me. I didn't like Engelbert's stumble stink when he was around and was supposed to be taking on Tom Jones and Elvis and people like that. I didn't like his music. But then I discovered he lived this quite rumbustuous life, and it was a bit of a little bit of a bloke-ish bloke behind
him. He was
it
a bit of a raver, wasn't he?
He was. He had his moments, did he?
Yes.
He certainly did. And so I got a sneaking regard for him. Then as I grew older, I realised not everybody had to be able to sing like his Royal Bobness or Jim Morrison or people like Tom Waits and things like that, that somebody with a smooth voice could do well. And I did get a sneaking regard for his ability as a performer. Mm. Then when he came up, because, you know, as Eric points out, every time I lambast the Eurovision Song Contest, he points out that we did actually do a commentary on it a couple of years ago or whenever it was on last time. Mm. So I did try and like this thing, and I listened to it. And the reason I'm rambling is because I've been trying to find the lyrics that I said to Eric early on, and I can't find them.
Good.
Well, it is absolutely appalling.
I know.
It starts off, and it sounds quite proper. And Engelbert does sing well on it. Engelbert does sing well. But then there is this major chord right in the middle of the chorus.
Which, do you know what makes it worse, Lee?
What?
They claim it's a mixture of funk bass lines with Balkan strings and Slavic folk. That is not Slavic folk. I live here.
It's not. It's like slavering folk, isn't it?
Oh, can I just do one thing on my own?
Well, I'm sure you can, but do you want to tell the ladies and gentlemen all about it?
Yes, I've got to. I'm very sorry, world. I'm sorry they chose the song. I'm sorry that they chose the singer. And it's not representative of the United Kingdom at all. I've done.
I agree with you. And now I would like to do it on my own again.
Go on.
By myself.
Go on, then.
And say I agree with you entirely. It is what it's like... And I mean this with the greatest of respect. It is as if you listen to that song in the middle eight, you will hear it is as if what happened, the chap who wrote it, who can be named or can remain nameless, you'll have to name him because I can't find it here. Mm. It's as if he fell asleep on the piano when he was writing it, and a cacophony of notes arose, completely unrelated, had no resemblance to anything that you could consider to be called music, and his PA or whatever wrote them down slavishly and then put it out, and Engelbert did a darned good job of actually singing it and following that cacophony of stupidity.
That was Postcard from Pop Brad for another week, boys and girls. We don't like Engelbert's song. We'll see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
RTI.